Ramsey TV.
Switching up the viewpoint today, as you can tell. Wine to the right of me, exquisite art to the left. But the truth is, I'm using the same background from yesterday's video because I miss those people. I miss Johnny and Caitlin. It was so wonderful having them here for fellowship. But knowing that they're out there, doesn't that help? I mean, you folks out there, you saw them only through the agency of this electronic medium. I actually had them here, blood and flesh, right here at this table yesterday. And so today, it's just so profoundly lonely because of no chairs to the left of me, no chairs to the right. Just wine and exquisite paintings. Fair, but not quite good enough. From the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula, I'm Martin Zender, your host on MZTV. Wasn't it wonderful seeing a father and daughter so close? I've never seen, seriously, a father and daughter so close and such good friends. And it was so cute because they were nervous on the way here. They were worried about what I would think of them. And I was nervous too. So it's that way. We always think how things are going to be off. It's always awkward. Whenever I go to a conference, or especially to somebody's home to teach, that first contact is always, you know, a little awkward because you're feeling each other out, wondering how it's going to work. But with these two, I'd say the awkwardness lasted about 5 seconds, and then we were off and running, as it usually is with members of the body of Christ. Now, I want to focus today on something that Caitlin said yesterday that I didn't really grab the import of it while the video was happening because I was busy thinking of where to move the interview next. But at the 22:05 minute mark of yesterday's video, Caitlin said something that, again, I didn't recognize it while it was happening, but while I was editing, I heard it. And I said, did she really say that? And then I went back, listened to it again. And then I was so blown away by it. I so, like, couldn't handle it at first because it was so astounding. I had to put the computer aside, go outside, smoke a cigarette, pace back and forth, because it was such a profound statement. And I came back to my editing, and I was, again, so impressed by it. It was real that I did a close-up, and I wrote every word of that statement on the screen, which I've never done before. And I apologize for the close-ups. I know they're blurry. I know it's an artificial close-up. I do the best I can with the technology that I have. But before I tell you what that line was, if you don't remember it, you'll remember it after I point it out to you and emphasize it. I appreciate all your comments that you made on yesterday's video. They were beautiful. I knew you would love it. I knew you would love knowing about other members of the body of Christ coming into the truth, especially young members of the body of Christ, because, I mean, there's no demarcation of age when it comes to this truth. Because God, in God's multifarious wisdom, He chooses multifarious people to believe it. And I love the variety in God's creation and the variety of the people who grasp onto the truth. So let's get to it, because you're wondering, Martin, give us the line. At the 22:05 minute marker of yesterday's video, I was asking Caitlin, Johnny's daughter, about her opinion of herself and how it changed after coming to a realization of the truth. And we had been talking about how we are all flawed by design. We all have things that we've gone through, that we've suffered. And Caitlin was talking about trials that she had in her life. And every reason in the flesh to tell God, you know, I don't like what you're doing, go away. Before I get to the line, there was another line she said that I don't resent God for what he did in my life. For instance, taking my brother in death at age 27. It's easy to resent God, to be angry at God. I think back to Job, who certainly suffered unbelievable trials, and he still trusted in God. In fact, in that video yesterday, I said at the end, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And to come to the point where even in the face of your trials, you can say, I don't resent God doing this. The only way you can say that is if you understand the truth that all things are working together for good, and that those loved ones who are departed, I've lost my mom and dad, I've never lost a sibling, I have one sibling, and I would be wrecked, if anything happened to my sister. But to be able to say, I don't resent God for that, it's a backhanded way of saying I honor God for that. I still have faith in God because I know that he knows better than me. And though I'm in pain, and though I miss my loved one, he's still God. God is still God. That was a beautiful thing. So at the 22:05 minute mark of the video, we were talking about the love of God, and Caitlin said this. I see the way God loves me, and I love me for that. That was not what people are supposed to say. This is what you're supposed to say. I see the way God loves me, and I love God for that. That's the groove in the record. That's the standard from the hit parade. I see the way God loves me, and I love God for that. Always pointing to God, which is good. But something happened for this young woman to utter this line, and maybe she wasn't aware of it herself at the time. I have since pointed it out to her, and I said, listen to this. How did you say this? She didn't really know. But I see the way God loves me, and I love me for that. There is an infection in the human race, and even in the body of Christ, that we are taught, I don't know if it's by society, or if it's part of our upbringing, or if it's, this is probably the most true thing, part of our religious upbringing, where we are taught that we are nothing, that we don't matter, that it is arrogant to think highly of yourself. I mean, when I was married, my wife never quite understood that she was loved by God, right? Always felt inferior and lacking because there wasn't the understanding that to think poorly of yourself, and I understand there are circumstances in life where it makes it very difficult to believe that you are valuable, that you have worth, and that God loves you. Many people, I understand this, I empathize with it. Well, I can't empathize with it because I had a beautiful childhood. I sympathize with it. To never get the love of a parent, to never know the love of a mother or a father, to be treated as a disposable item, as something that was unwanted and unneeded, it would be hard to come back from that. it would be a miracle of a spiritual understanding of the love of God. So I appreciate the hurdles that some people have in order to be able to come to this self-love. And again, society is such, culture is such today that it almost seems sinful to say that you love yourself. It seems arrogant. So many people are broken in this world that when someone stands up and says, I love myself, they're shot down. I think it's because of jealousy that those who hate themselves can't stand to see someone who loves themselves, and they want to tear that person down and bring them down to their level. And so they label that person arrogant, or they say that that person has a disorder, like narcissism, narcissistic disorder. There's something wrong with that person. You're supposed to always, especially in the Christian world, you're always supposed to be feeling like you're nothing. And yet, here's this young woman. I see the way God loves me, and I love me for that. Because it is a slap in the face of God who made you, who even made you a flawed vessel. It's necessary that we're flawed, as you know, because God puts his treasure in earthen vessels, that the transcendence of the power may be of God and not of us. And how many times have I told you that God delights, Ephesians chapter 1, to choose us. He delights to give us the height, the breadth, and the depth of heaven. He delights to call us sons. And 2 Timothy 1, 9 tells us that this calling, explained in excruciating detail in Ephesians chapter 1, is not in accord with our acts. It's not in accord with even our opinion of ourselves. It's in accord with God's opinion of us. And we are called, Ephesians chapter 1, in accord with the delight of God. It delights God to look at us and say, you, my son or my daughter, are justified. You are righteous in my sight. And Caitlin caught that wave and said, I see the way God loves me, and I love me for that. She doesn't love herself because of her opinion of herself. She loves herself because of God's opinion of her. That's the opinion that counts. And to hate yourself in light of God calling you justified, calling you a son or a daughter of his, is an insult. As if God doesn't know what he's talking about. As if we would tell God, you picked the wrong person. No, yeah, no, you're not right. You love me. You I'm the apple of your eye. You put me on this lofty pedestal. No, you got the wrong person. How dare you, honestly? God has the wrong person? Your opinion of yourself is higher than God's opinion of you? I mean, this saying was so refreshing to me. And again, it kind of went over my head as it was happening. But when I edited it, I looked at it and went, what? Couldn't handle it. Had to go out and smoke a cigarette. Came back there, still there. Oh my God. And I wanted to point that out to you today, because the first precept is love your associate as yourself. Of course, the common versions say love your neighbor as yourself. You cannot properly love anyone unless you love yourself first. It's essential to love yourself first. And if you don't, again, it's a slap in the face to the Creator who made you the way you are. So many people are debilitated by this self-loathing, and they think it's noble. Christianity has almost made it noble to loathe yourself, as if that's humility. That's not true humility, ladies and gentlemen. I hate to tell anybody out there who loathes themselves. That is not genuine humility. That is a backhanded humility. It is, in a way, self-worship. It's saying that I could be better. Why aren't I better? I should be doing more. I need to be this way. I. It's totally inward, like a black hole of personal need that can never be met within yourself. The only way that need, we all need to feel wanted and loved and accepted, but the only way that need is going to come to you is by understanding what God says about you. Thus, God loves the world. He gave his only begotten Son. And the love of God for us, who are his special people, his chosen ones, chosen before the disruption of the world, it's unstoppable. It's unstoppable. And it's not arrogant to acknowledge it. And again, love your associate as yourself. I've given this example before. I'll give it now at the close of this show. When you're ready to take off on an airliner, the flight attendant says, in the case of a pressure drop, masks will come down from the ceiling. Put your own mask on before assisting a child. Isn't that selfish? Put your own mask on. Take care of yourself first, then take care of a child. Shouldn't you take care of a child first? But how can you take care of anybody unless you take care of yourself first? Thus, the precept, love your associate as yourself. You're honoring God by loving yourself. Don't look in the mirror. You're going to believe the mirror's opinion of you? I would prefer that you look at God's opinion of you. It is the ultimate adoration and worship and lifting up of God to love yourself, because you are worthy enough for him to die for you. That's how much he cared for you. He suffered for 6 hours on the cross, the most utter humiliation, attacked by Satan for 6 hours. Why? For you. That's how valuable you are to him. And an acknowledgement of that value is the most precious thing God could receive. He gets it so infrequently today. He really does. He gets it so infrequently because it's fashionable to appear humble. And to appear humble, you must think of yourself as a lowly, unworthy, terrible creature. I say, lift the viewpoint. Look at God's perspective, not yours. Take a clue from Caitlin Green, who said at the 22:05 minute mark of yesterday's video, I see the way God loves me, and I love me for that. That was a spark of life. That was a spark of truth. And I pray that that spark sets fire to your opinion of yourself, so that it accords with God's opinion of you.